Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. My name is Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. So we are in episode 2 for 2026. I'm still recording on video. Hello, if you're watching me from my very sunlit studio. Otherwise, I am, as always, also uploading the audio version. So you might be listening to that as well. So we're in February. We're continuing our monthly theme of getting it right in 2026. And this week, we're going to talk about whether or not your enduring power of attorney needs to be updated. Now, we have spoken about enduring powers of attorney previously, so you can go back and listen to some older podcasts. But in a nutshell, it is a document that kicks in when you're alive, but you're incapacitated and you appoint attorneys to handle your health and or financial matters in circumstances where you are unable to do so. So in Queensland, it is a set form that you are required to use, and you can create or revoke an enduring power of attorney when you have the necessary capacity to do so. So if you have your enduring power of attorney that you have, and I'm doing this podcast on the basis that you have an enduring power of attorney. If you don't have one, get in contact with me, www.vicarlaw.com.au, immediately so that we can get you one. But I'm, for this purpose, looking as if you have an enduring power of attorney and considering when it needs to be updated. So the number one reason, obviously, is if something has happened to one of your attorneys. So if one of your attorneys has passed away, or you no longer want that person to be your attorney, that is the number one reason that I would be updating your enduring power of attorney. I went to a conference last year and they spoke about, for elderly people, a lot of people don't know that enduring powers of attorney can be revoked. But the other flip side to that is that it must be revoked. So I think it's section 47 or 49 of the Succession Act 1981 in Queensland says that you need to revoke an enduring power of attorney in writing using the approved form, and you need to notify your attorneys that you have done so. So for people that want to change their attorneys, you do need to revoke it and let those attorneys know, if they are still alive, that they are no longer required to be your attorney. So that's the number one reason that I would update your enduring power of attorney. Another reason that I think you should update it is really if you've had a significant health change. So the enduring powers of attorney that I provide at Vicar Law are really on the basis that you're incapacitated. So the power for the attorneys does not kick in until such time that you have lost capacity. If you have had a major health event, diagnosed with a terminal illness, but still have capacity, or you are just aging and things are getting a little tough for you, particularly around the financial side of your life, then it may be worthwhile updating your enduring power of attorney to give immediate power to your attorneys. Don't always recommend this. I know there are a lot of practitioners out there that don't, but in my experience, it's just kind of not what I like to do, but I will allow people to do it in circumstances where they are suffering from significant health issues and they want the power to start immediately so that their attorneys can help them. Quite often that their first attorney will be their spouse or their child. Okay. And the other circumstance is when someone is quite elderly. And what I often find is that children are already acting as health or financial attorneys in some capacity, but we're just formalizing it with a piece of paper because now the bank has required it or the nursing home has required it. So that is another reason that I think you should update your enduring power of attorney. Otherwise, there's not a huge amount of reasons to update them. I regularly look and we regularly utilize enduring powers of attorney that are 10 plus years old. And that's because if you have a very nuclear family of a spouse and children, there's not a huge reason to update it. But I do thoroughly recommend that you check when that power kicks in. I would be a rich lady if I had a dollar for every time someone came to me with an enduring power of attorney and they didn't actually know that it starts immediately. Okay. Now, look, there are some caveats to that. Oh, you know, they need a copy of it. And, you know, if the lawyer holds it, they don't have it doing it. But my point about it is that if your objective is for it to only kick in when you're incapacitated, then that's what your enduring power of attorney should actually say. So I think that's a great reason to update it. When you do an estate plan with me at Vicar Law, I do update enduring powers of attorney as a matter of course, just because it really fits into your estate plan. I also have additional clauses that I like to include about particularly conflict transactions. If you have minor children, I also include a clause about temporary guardianship of minors in circumstances where you may be incapacitated. So for me, I think it's always worthwhile reviewing and updating. So if you are in that circumstance where you need it reviewed or updated, or you need to get one done, or you need your whole estate plan redone, you can hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can get yourself sorted. So next week, we are continuing with our theme of starting 2026, right, talking about whether you should be considering a testamentary trust in your will. So thank you so much for tuning in, particularly those for tuning in on video. It's really nice. I hope that you feel like we're just, you know, having a conversation with a friend and you're getting my vibe, I guess. So thank you so much for listening and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.